Hot Business is powered by Standard Bank Business and Commercial Banking, your partner with sector expertise and tailored solutions to help you grow with purpose and ambition. Standard Bank is an authorized FSP and registered credit provider. And this is our lead story tonight. While most sectors are still struggling under the weight of cautious consumer spending, South Africa's retail health sector is quietly surging ahead. And there's some impressive numbers here. A 7% growth in March alone. Small pharmacies, independent practices are proving to be resilient. And they've become, I think, community-driven engines of healthcare and economic momentum. That's good news. But how sustainable is this growth? And what role does smart funding play in keeping these frontline businesses healthy? I'm going to talk now to Christina Mooki, who is head of medical partnership operations at Merchant Capital. And let's discuss the trends and some of the truth behind those numbers. So, Christina, a very warm welcome. That 7.1% growth statistic, it's impressive. But how much of that is real expansion versus inflation or base effect recovery from weaker periods?
Jeremy, firstly, thank you so much to you and the listeners. I'm so excited to be on the show. So I think what we're seeing is there's definitely expansion. The growth is coming from expansion. And this expansion is ultimately driven by preventative care and the notion of preventative care coming to the fore for our medical fraternity. So what this is going to the doctors for your annual visits, making sure that all of your screenings are done upfront is really driving the growth. Also, we are seeing that, there's quite a lot of investment into the retail side of healthcare. So buying of your vitamins, making sure that, you up to scratch when it comes to your health is becoming, quite critical.
Interesting that you position small pharmacies and smaller medical practices as growth hotspots, but they would also surely still be heavily exposed to rising medical input costs and late payments from medical schemes, which is often the case, as we know.
Absolutely. And it's a pressure point that I think all medical specialists experience, but the reality is they are our pharmacies are our first line of defense against common illnesses and provide preventative care, and they actually increase accessibility to healthcare in some communities. So absolutely critical, but that requirement for funding in order to support them becomes paramount.
And that's the real problem, because a lot of those practices, I'd suggest, are surviving rather than thriving. So what do you think the real default risks are that you're seeing on the lending side?
Right. So I think from a lending perspective, actually what we're seeing is there's real growth, and some of the stories and case studies that we have shown growth, practices that have come to us requiring whether it's a new machine or, they need to market their business a lot more. And the growth has been exponential, 200%, 700% in some cases, right? But the important thing is that, doctors as well as pharmacies are finding lenders that are actually going to be flexible in the way in which they work. And I think that becomes very critical. So not just, traditional finance where, at the end of the month, you may get a big, facility that you need to repay. That may be very expensive for your business, but rather getting something that's a bit more flexible and tailored to the industry.
So in terms of that flexibility then, how would a company like yours be changing its approach to risk modeling?
Right. So firstly, we look at an industry, and we base our risk based on the industry. So when we're looking at the medical side, we work on the ethos of repay as you practice. So what this ultimately means is our repayments are tailored with how your revenue is, right? So in the months where you are receiving more revenue, you'll likely pay back your facility a lot faster. But in the months where you are seeing a dip in patients because it's quiet and your revenue is down, then you will actually repay us less, right? And if it so happens that as a medical practitioner, you decide that, you know, you want to take a month off because you'd like to go and, you know, study further as an example, then in that month, you're not going to repay us at all. So we've really built in, you know, the repay as you pay, so that, you know, it can assist doctors.
But part of the problem there is that you've got to be very aware that these borrowers don't become over leveraged in chasing expansion during the boom.
Absolutely. And that's why we really take the time to understand what the project is that, let's say, for example, a medical practitioner will be undergoing and how it's going to serve their business. We do have also 48-hour turnaround time, which I think is very important. Sometime the need is pressing, whether it's expansion or otherwise. And we are governed by SASFA. SASFA is a body that ensures that we responsibly lend to all of our clients. So we really try to make sure that we don't over-indebt, but rather assist in the growth of the business.
There is, and I just want to pivot slightly, there is concern, and I think you'll concede, that private sector-led funding in healthcare often can deepen inequality. So critical that you ensure that your support benefits broad-based patient access and not just profit margins.
Absolutely. I think, you know, I'd rather shy away from commenting on that. You know, we are in the space of assisting those in private healthcare and businesses, you know, SME businesses in South Africa altogether. But I think that there is a need for, you know, government and private to sit down and have a discussion around how best to assist all.
The problem is that discussion is perhaps not happening quick enough.
Perhaps, yes.
Let me talk to you about telemedicine and digital health tools, something which is also being expounded on. Sounds great in theory, but is this technology available for either township or rural-based practices? Often we know that businesses like this would either have limited funding or budget, should I say, or limited bandwidth.
Right. So the technologies are there. So technologies, just to expand, such as your EHRs, your digital diagnostics, your telemedicine, as well as there's AI, which is assisting medical practitioner scribes, so for patient notes, or to predict patient volumes or digital stethoscopes. I think that the technology is definitely there, but again, the funding and making sure that you have the right funding partner may be where, you know, the discussion point is or the determining point is.
And Christina, just a very quick answer to this one. And what would you say to a skeptical GP or to an independent pharmacist who sees growth funding, as we've been discussing, as just more debt with a nice name?
I think as a GP or any medical, you know, specialist, take the time to understand, you know, what your business plans are, firstly. And maybe you want to invest in new technology or new AI, or you want to market yourself a bit more, or you want to find a way to buy yourself a bit of time. Take the time to first understand that. Ask yourself, would a flexible asset-free lender be able to assist you in that? And then maybe look into whether they are reputable. You know, are there any bodies that are governing them? Do they believe in responsible lending? And how can they walk the journey with me? And if that lender can tick all of those boxes, then absolutely take the leap, because you may find that you're actually walking the journey with a business that can help you grow and can buy you time and allow you to be able to provide better service to your patients,
which is
ultimately going to impact everyone.
And that is not only good advice for your sector, but for business generally, is do your own due diligence. Christina Mooki, thank you very much indeed. Head of Medical Partnership Operations at Merchant Capital. Appreciate your time.
Hot Business is powered by Standard Bank Business and Commercial Banking.